Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today we have Nick Wallace with us, who is going to talk to us about careers in finance. Nick actually knew that he wanted to work in finance right at the beginning. He did a variety of different work experiences whilst he was at school, but he did do a degree in a finance-related subject. He achieved a first in that degree, so he did extremely well. He did some internships for investment banks and accountancy firms, and so he was absolutely well prepared when he applied for his first job, and so consequently he got a great first job at PwC, where he then went on to train and become an auditor and pass all his qualifications. So he was doing really brilliantly well there, but the hours were extremely long. And I think this is a great example where sometimes, you know, you may feel that you want to do something, and indeed you will achieve it and you will enjoy it, but a realization dawns that maybe there are other things. And this is what's happened with Nick. Having, as I say, achieved a great platform within PwC, he then decided that he was going to do something else where he could be a bigger fish in a smaller pool. And he made the transition across to a boutique corporate advisor, which is where he is now. And he's going to tell you all about that and how his lifestyle has changed as a result of making that change. So, Nick, thanks so much for joining us today. You've got a very interesting career history, and I think that our listeners today are going to be extremely inspired. So if we can start, first of all, with you providing for us just a short overview of your career history.
Yeah, of course. I started my sort of work experience journey when I was about 14, and I just tried to experience as many different things as I could using my network of my parents' friends and family friends and that sort of thing. So I did lots of 1 week and 2 week work experiences in things like jewellery shop, in a travel consultancy, in a construction business where I worked in the accounts department there, in an accountancy firm. And then I moved on to university, and during my period of university I applied to do an internship at an investment bank, which was at Lehman Brothers. I did a 12-week internship there in the summer of my second year. And then following that, applied to do the graduate scheme at PwC.
Okay. Well, I think that's really interesting, because bearing in mind that you're now in corporate finance and a qualified accountant, the fact that you worked in a whole variety of different industries is the first thing I'd probably like your perspective on, because one wouldn't expect somebody who's a qualified accountant to have done some work experience in, you know, a jeweller's or a travel agent or a construction firm. So how did that come about? Was that, did you have a particular goal at that point?
Not really. I think I knew I was going to be involved in finance or accounting somewhere along the line. My dad had been involved in it, and I was always good at with sort of the numbers side of school. But I guess what I wanted to experience was just what the world of work was like. And I'd just say, it doesn't, you know, your work experience doesn't have to be ultimately what you want to do. It's all about experience, and that's the key word. It's about experiencing what it's like to be in the world of work. What do your bosses expect? What time do you turn up? What do you wear? You know, how do you manage people and that sort of thing? And it doesn't have to be in what you want to do. Ultimately, as you get closer to entering the world of work, experiencing things that are a bit more similar is probably more important. But generally when you're 14, 15, you know, experience, just get out there and experience the world of work.
How old were you when you did your Lehman's internship? Because that was a bit more of a lengthy period of work experience, wasn't
it? Yeah, so that was 12 weeks and I was 19. So it was the end of my second year of university. And it was something that I was at the University of Nottingham, and it was, we had a lot of careers fairs, and I tried to get to as many as I could just to speak to as many employers as I could. And it was something that I applied to 6 or 7 businesses to do an internship, just to get experience again. It's work experience, but a bit more related to something that I thought I wanted to do. Actually, in the end, I realised it wasn't what I wanted to do. And I'd say that the worst thing that can happen from a piece of work experience is realising that it's something that you don't want to do.
Which is a great thing to learn,
exactly.
Anyway, isn't it?
And that's
it?
The worst thing that can happen. You know, there's no other bad thing about it. And, you know, sometimes you get paid for your work experience, sometimes you don't. I was lucky enough on my internship, I did get paid. But to be honest, I would have done the internship if I hadn't got paid, because it was the experiences I learned were just absolutely fantastic, which have helped me in my future career.
So you did, you know, although you went to university, you actually did about 5 years, you know, over a period of 5 years, a lot of work experience. And obviously that must have stood you in great stead for when you got your first permanent job. And that was with PwC, wasn't it? So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I started the PwC on the graduate scheme. When I applied for internships, I also applied to PwC, and I was choosing between PwC and Lehman Brothers. Unfortunately, I had to decline PwC offer, but it was something that I potentially wanted to consider in the future. So I sent them a very nice letter and said, unfortunately, I'm going to have to decline. I've experienced accountancy before, but hadn't experienced investment banking. So fortunately, when I then applied to PwC, I didn't have to go through the whole application process. I only had to have one formal interview, which I was fortunate enough to pass. So I started on the graduate scheme at PwC, and we had a couple of weeks of training to start with. Got thrown straight into my exams. So I had my first exams within 3 weeks of starting. So I spent the first 2 years of my 3-year graduate program doing exams on and off from work. So there was lots of 6 weeks programs where I was away from work at college doing the exams. And it was a fantastic experience. I started with another 15 people at the same time as me in my particular intake. And we all became best friends. And actually, we've got a couple of weddings next year of people. I've had one already. So it's really nice to get a nice group of friends.
Did you not feel that you'd done so much hard work at university that you wanted to take some time off from studying? I'm quite interested in that because, I mean, we advocate lifelong learning and that, you know, you should never stop learning, and that just because you finish school or university, it doesn't mean that, you know, you close your books.
Yeah.
But some people do feel like that. How did you feel when, you know, you went straight into more exams and studying?
Well, I was fortunate enough. I had 3 months between when I finished university and I started work. So I did a lot of travelling in that time. I went around Asia, and that was a really good experience. It was effectively the first time I was free, and I had been outside of school and work experience and internships and all that sort of stuff. So that was great. And I had that 3 months. I did consider taking a gap year. My two best friends did a gap year, and they went travelling, and they invited me to go with them. And at the time, the economy was in a place where jobs were, you know, getting a job was a really positive thing, and it wasn't as likely as it would have been a couple of years before. So I didn't want to risk that. The job was important to me. So I had the job offer with PwC. I could have asked them to defer it a year, but I decided not to and decided to go straight into work. And actually, I did my accountancy exams, and they were very hard work, but I got through them, and now I've said I'm never going to do another exam again. But you constantly learn, and I still learn every single day, and possibly even more than when I was doing exams. But you learn about more practical things about how to deal with people, clients, and the world of work.
Well, after you did your audit exams and you were an auditor for 3 years, you then went into management still at PwC, didn't you?
Yeah, so I was a manager within the audit practice. So audit basically means checking a company's accounts to make sure they're effectively what we call true and fair, so there's no errors in their numbers. It's not the most glamorous of jobs, but you get an unbelievable experience in understanding how businesses work. So I was auditing the likes of Tesco and EasyJet and people like that. So some big companies.
Were you travelling around doing that as well?
Travelling around. So I was often based at client sites, which was interesting. And sometimes I was in the US, I was in France, I was in different places to do that,
or
some glamorous parts of the UK. Also some not so glamorous parts of the UK.
Yeah.
But often at client sites, normally in and around London, but I did get to travel around, which was quite good. So I did the audit for 3 years, which was effectively a lot of work that wasn't the most interesting work, but I knew that it was a means to get progress within PwC and get my promotion, and that's what I was always working towards. And I managed to get a promotion to manager within the audit practice, which meant I was, rather than doing the work, I was managing and reviewing the work.
And then after that, you moved into the section of the business, which was engaged in buying and selling companies.
Correct? So we were advising companies that were looking to buy and sell other companies. So I was doing a lot of what we call due diligence, which is effectively checking, rather than checking the historical financials like I was doing an audit, it's basically checking and proving that if a company wants to buy another company, that the numbers and the information that they say about that company is valid. Mm. So again, it was quite interesting. You really had to understand businesses to be able to do a proper report and to your client.
But you stayed with PwC for about 7 years, and then quite recently, you made a move, didn't you?
Yeah, so I really enjoyed PwC, and it gave me an unbelievable and fantastic varied experience working with lots of different clients. It got to a position where I knew that one day I would like to ultimately have my own business or own my own business or start my own business. And I knew that I was working with very big, high-profile companies, but I wanted to gain more experience of working with smaller companies as well. Mm-hmm. So I got an opportunity to join a business called Blue Box Corporate Finance. So what does that mean? We are effectively an estate agent, but rather than selling properties, we sell businesses. So a client will come to us and say, I want to sell my business. And we work with them to make sure their business is positioned in the right way, like an estate agent would, to make sure your house looks in order before you effectively show potential buyers. And then we go and find the buyers and then manage the process all the way through.
So what's a typical week for you now?
Well, a typical week, I'm lucky enough where I manage a lot of people. I manage clients, quite senior in the team. So my week is made up of lots of meetings, meeting with my clients, meeting with potential buyers for my clients, meeting with lawyers and wealth managers and other people in my network. I'm always in lots of meetings, always talking to my clients, managing the process, making sure that I'm reviewing all the work that's going out to our clients. We always have to prepare a sales document. So like if you were selling a house, you'd get a one-page summary document that says what the house is about. We do it's a bit more detailed. It's about 20 pages, but tells you exactly what our client does and why you should think about buying our client, like a sales document. Mm. So always sort of reviewing that work, making sure I'm reviewing all the financial models, all that sort of thing. So a very varied week, lots of different meetings, but really interesting.
And what sorts of hours do you work compared to, you know, you were talking about some of those very, very long hours that you did early on in your internship and at PwC.
Yeah, average hours now, I probably do 9 or 10 hours a day. Okay. And I can be lucky enough that I could be quite flexible. So if I did want to, for example, go and play golf at 4 o'clock in the summer, I could, as long as I get my work done, it doesn't matter. But I have done that where I've gone to play golf at 4 o'clock, left, finished at 8, gone home and done a couple of hours at home. Mm. As long as I don't have any client meetings or necessary commitments, that's fine. As long as I get my work done, that's fine. So I'm normally in the office about 8, 8:30, and I normally leave about between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. There was a time where I completed a deal last year where I had to be in the office till 5 a.m. But it was a complete one-off. It's the first time and the only time I've stayed probably past 9 o'clock since I've been at Blue Box, which has been 18 months, but normally it's about a 10-hour day.
What's the best thing about your job now?
Best thing about my job is probably working with smaller entrepreneurial businesses and actually delivering a service that's one of the most important things for their life. So if someone's built up a business and wants to sell it, hopefully we get them a very good price, like if you're selling a house, but ultimately selling a business, you get more money than selling a house normally, and therefore you're actually servicing your clients and getting them one of the most important decisions of their life.
What's the other side of the coin, some of the challenges, the biggest challenges of the role?
I think the biggest challenges are, you know, I do have quite a lot of clients that I'm managing at any one time. So it's managing expectations of lots of clients at any one time. You always come up with, whether you're working for PwC with the really big clients or you're working with Blue Box with relatively small clients, you're always going to have difficult people, and it's about how you manage that and how you project manage and making sure you're dealing and getting the right client service at any one time.
And you were talking about having to sort of troubleshoot and come up with different solutions as well for clients and things like that. Tell us a little bit more about that. You were saying that could be quite challenging at times.
Yeah, I think one of the most important things I've learned is if there's a problem, making sure that you come up with a solution and it's a credible solution. Sometimes your solution might be completely dismissed, but at least you've thought about it and you've shown some effort. And one of the things I hate with people I work with internally and is when people come to me with a problem but don't come to me with a solution. Yeah. So I've learned that, you know, every time I'm speaking to a client and a potential problem arises, as they do pretty much every day, there's always some kind of problem. I always have come up with at least a couple of solutions to make sure that there's a different way around to solve the problem. And it may not be the optimal solution. It might not be the best way forward for the client, but at least you've come up with something to make sure that you've thought about how best to deal with something. And I think that's one of the most important things.
So I know you've not been doing this role for that long. I think about 18 months, you were saying.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's more for you to do, et cetera, as you're explaining. But ultimately, what next? What could be next for you, bearing in mind your experience? What are the routes available?
Yeah, so... From my experience, for someone that works in what we call corporate finance, so buying and selling businesses, a natural, or actually what I do is more selling businesses. So there's a natural move could be to buying businesses and what we call private equity, which effectively buy businesses and look to grow them and then sell them to make some money.
Yeah.
So that's a natural move that people in our market like to do. There's always the option of having my own business and moving into my own business. There's the option of just kind of staying and working in business. As you say, I've been there 18 months and I've worked on some really nice high profile deals, but actually getting more experience working in deals. And obviously I'm quite senior, but I'm learning so much every day that I've still got so much more learning to do in what I do. So for the moment, I'm really enjoying it. I'm going to stay what I'm doing for a period of time. I don't know how long that period is. You know, there's always an option of going back to advisory company like a big PwC or someone like that you know once I've gained the experience of working in small businesses, which I really enjoyed, going back and working with and advising larger businesses. So a whole range of options, and I think having the basic grounding of all the different work experience I did from when I was 14 up to when I was at university and did the internship up to the PwC graduate scheme has made me realize that there's loads of different options out there, and actually you've just got to try and find out what works for you.
Anybody listening who's thinking, well, you know, I'd like to do an accountancy qualification, but I'm not sure if I want to do number crunching the whole time. I think they don't need to worry about that. It is really just giving them that fundamental grounding and a springboard for them to then continue to do something like you.
Absolutely. And I think in every single job that you start, whether that's when you're 16, whether that's when you're 21, whenever it is, you're always going to start doing stuff you don't necessarily enjoy. You're going to be doing probably the lowest level of work.
Yeah.
So when I started an audit at PwC, I was ticking invoices all day. I didn't enjoy it. It was boring, but I knew that it was a means to get further in the company to progress my career. And I think now it's sort of proof in the pudding is that, you know, now I don't really do number crunching at all. Mm. And if I think about all the people that I started with at PwC who did the accountancy qualification with me, very few are still at PwC, and people are working in very senior jobs at very high profile companies. So one of my colleagues is now very senior at TalkTalk, in the senior management team, but nothing to do with accountancy or numbers or even finance.
So Nick, obviously, you know, you're extremely confident and articulate speaker now and very proficient in your role. But you said to me that there was a time where you weren't so confident and actually you were quite shy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, how it felt and what things you did to overcome that?
Yeah, so when I was at school in my latter years, I was quite shy and I was thinking about what I wanted to do in my career. And it was very nerve-wracking going to speak to family, friends and all that sort of stuff about the world of work. But I think the most important thing is that you just got to do it. And I think once you do it and you start to do it, you realise that people are actually really nice and people generally don't say no. And if they do, well, they've said no. What's the worst that can happen? So if you don't ask, you don't get is really the moral of the story. And I found that actually you build your confidence through doing things you don't necessarily have the confidence in to start with. Mm-hmm. So I still have meetings today where I feel underprepared and I feel shy in the way and I have to present things to client. But it's all about thinking that actually, you know, I know more than the client knows, and I've just got to portray confidence in what I'm thinking. And as long as people think you're confident, they then trust you, and then you take it from there. And I think, you know, being shy is not a bad thing. Everyone is shy at some point or another, and even people that don't appear shy, I'm sure, are shy in some areas. And it's about just, you know, getting through that and making sure you just try and get to people and talk to people. You know, if you're too shy to pick up the phone to someone, just send an email in the first instance. Mm. You know, I still sometimes am too shy to pick up the phone to people now, but it's a lesson that I've learned. And I actually now even if I don't need to pick up the phone, sometimes I now do it just to prove to myself that I can do it and I'm confident in it.
Assuming that we've whetted the appetite for people listening now that they want to follow in your footsteps, our audience will include, young people who maybe are about to take their GCSEs, considering whether to do A-levels or whether to leave and do an apprenticeship, right the way through to those who have done their A-levels, are destined for university and, you know, have decided, are deciding sort of what degree to do or which university to go to. And we could actually have even have some listeners who are about to complete their degree as well or their college qualification. So wide range of listeners. But what sorts of advice would you give them next if they want to follow your footsteps?
I think the most important thing is just to talk to as many people as you can. So even though you probably don't think you've got a network, you do. So whether it's your parents, your friends of your parents, family friends, people that you've worked with before, every single person has a network and you just need to exploit that to try and understand what's out there a bit more.
Assuming that people manage to do that and they get some type of work experience, no matter what it is, what will be the next step?
The next step is to think about whether you want to go to university or not. Now, university was a great experience for me, and I learned a lot about finance and accounting being my degree, but I also learned a lot about living away from home. It was the first time I'd been away from my family, and I was at university in Nottingham and I live in London, so it was a couple of hours away, so I wasn't too far, but it was a fantastic experience for me. But I know that I've got a friend who didn't go to university and actually went to try and be a professional tennis player. He spent 4 or 5 years doing that, realised that he was never going to make it, got a severe injury, so then started at PwC without having gone to university on their school leavers program. So, you can try different things. It doesn't have to be, once you've committed, it doesn't have to be your final decision. I know a lot of people that have done the accountancy qualification and moved on and now work in recruitment or work in
something
completely different.
Nick, that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today. I think it's been truly inspiring. You know, traditionally might be known as a pretty boring career, accountancy. Actually, you've brought it to life and hopefully you've inspired a lot of our listeners that it leads to so many exciting different career routes. So thank you very much, and if anybody wants to get in touch with you, you kindly said that we could let them know your email address just in case they have any requests for advice or whatever. So can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, sure. It's nick.wallis, that's W-A-L-L-I-S, at blueboxcfg.com.
Great. Thank you very much, and wishing you all the best for your future career. I'm sure it's going to be spectacular.
Thank you.